There's a story told almost 100 years ago in a church magazine about a young man named Creed Heyman who ran track for his college. The night before a meet, his coach offered the team alcohol to help them relax for the next day's races. Creed refused multiple times and to the chagrin of his coach and teammates. The end of the story is powerful, and you can read it if you click in the link in our show notes. But it's actually the middle of the story itself that interests us this week. In this episode, we study the great story of Daniel, Mishael, Hananiah, and Azariah, and ask the question, how can I live in the modern world and be both true to my beliefs and also harmonious with others? Welcome to the Scripture Study Project. We are your hosts, Krista and Zach Horton, and this is our podcast where we study Scripture with you. Our goal each week is to help you discover new or renewed excitement for God and His Word, invest your heart and personal life into your study, and connect with others as you teach and learn together. Hello and welcome to this week's episode. We are here to study with you in Daniel chapters 1 through 6. Sorry, a lot of books have multiple endings on it, right?
Or... Daniel's story. Daniel's
That's what I meant to say. If I were a great podcast host or great podcast partner, I would say, Zach, I'm sorry you lost your voice or losing your voice. I will record this episode on my own. But instead, we have Zach, who is partially has lost his voice. We've had a little too much excitement here in the Philadelphia area with the World Series. We are newly converted baseball fans, apparently. You kind of can't when you've got a team going to the World Series, and it is such a fun community boosting, mood boosting, voice losing.
We went from 0 to 60 pretty quick too. We're into like baseball strategy and different pitch grips and all of that now. So
and fair weather fans, because it's really fun to cheer on a team like that. Where everywhere you look, someone has a Phillies shirt. Even someone's dog had a Phillies shirt on the other day, and that just made me smile. Anyway, Zach has been cheering too loudly at kids' soccer games. Or would you say you're cheering or like coaching on the side. Ball,
it's the same thing.
And he tries to coach the Phillies too. And so he's lost his voice. Anyway, but here we are together, and we're excited to be here. I think that I personally am excited to move into this story of Daniel, and we're excited to study with you today and to get going. So I'm going to let
Voiceless Zach
take over.
Well, this is, I think, a nice break because we have a story. We haven't had a story like this, kind of a narrative story, for how many months in our Old Testament.
A little bit inspiring of a story. We've kind of had some kind of sadder stories going on, and this is one of those inspirational stories that you remember.
Well, and this is kind of a break. We haven't had a narrative for months in our study, right?
Well, it seems like we've had some narratives recently, but they definitely haven't been in this vein of maybe more motivational or inspirational, like the story
that we can follow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we love this story. I've always loved the story of Daniel, but it's not just unique in that we actually get to read a story. It's unique in the kind of story that we have. Up to this point, with few exceptions here and there, the main story of the Old Testament, of the Hebrew Bible, is God's people either escaping from, quote-unquote, the world, or separated from the world. So we have, for the first, the patriarchal stories, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they're living apart from others. They are deliberately living separated from others. And then we have 400 years of the Israelites in bondage in Egypt, but we don't get any of that story. Exodus picks up and we fast forward 400 years and now they're leaving Egypt. And so we spend Exodus and all of the books of them in the desert. We spend, you know, how many books focused on the Israelites, again, apart or separated from the world. And then as we get into the prophetic writings, all of the prophecies, all of the teachings are about how Israel can keep themselves separate from the world. Well, Daniel is a major shift because even though we have all of those teachings, Daniel is set firmly in a culture that is not separate from, it's not a desert culture. They're not escaping from Babylon, and it's not a prophet trying to teach them to be different or separate themselves from Babylon. This is Daniel and his friends living in Babylon and then later living in Persia. And that alone makes it a really captivating story, and I think a really relevant one for us. The question we want to ask as we study this week is, how can I live in Babylon or Persia? And I want to put a little asterisk next to that question because at first blush, when we use the word Babylon, we often attach a negative connotation to it. And many of the prophets have used that as kind of an epithet for the world. In this story, Babylon or Persia doesn't represent the wicked, evil world that we live in. This isn't a story about how we can escape the wickedness that surrounds us. It is a story about how we can live our own beliefs, our own religion, our own culture, in a world where those beliefs, that culture, are not the norm for others. Not in judgment of others, but in harmony with them. And I think, again, Daniel creates a great place for us to study that because that's exactly what Daniel and his friends do. They are able to hold on to their beliefs, but live in harmony and to a great degree of success with the cultures that they find themselves in.
I loved reading this week about Daniel in just the way that he did this. I think he did it very gracefully. I think it's a great example of someone who, and of course we don't have the whole story, but seemed very non-judgmental. He was very at ease with his beliefs, and it felt that he was at ease with others. He wasn't trying to overstep or change or be self-righteous, but instead it was this very easygoing way that made you feel like he was a likable person. I don't even know how I could gather that from that, but that was the feeling that I had as I read about Daniel.
Now, of course, in your study, you'll find a lot of answers. Maybe you find yourself in situations like this where you are asking yourself the question, how can I live harmoniously with others and yet still stay true to my beliefs or my choices? And so you'll have your own answers as you study this week, because there are multiple stories where this is exactly what happens. However, we want to point out at least two, and they're going to seem so completely obvious. But the reason we're pointing them out is because I think they have to go said. They can't go just unsaid or understood. We want to state them.
It's important to know the basics. Yeah. Is kind of what you're saying.
Yeah,
I think that's true. And it'll be fun, too, to build on this study for you as you think about this and what we can learn from Daniel in this way.
Yeah. So, chapter 1, verse 8. Here is, I think, at least, well, I think principle number one. In order to live in harmony in Babylon, it says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Of course, this is the story where Daniel and his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are chosen and are given a portion of the king's meat and the king's wine, which is against the law of Moses, and they're commanded to eat. They're fed well so that they can grow and become something useful to the king and his court. And of course, Daniel doesn't want to do it. The principle, I think, comes in the fact that Daniel purposed in his own heart that he did not want to do something that went against his beliefs, the things that he valued. I've noticed that a very common, maybe the contradictory principle to this that I think gets us in trouble is, I think many would say, well, in order to live in harmony with others, you need to let go of your own passions, your own beliefs, your own culture and identity, and become something more. You hear people talk all the time about we need to be more open-minded and more accepting and more tolerant, which all of those words are accurate, but the way that they're used, I think, is inaccurate. If open-minded and tolerance and accepting means I have to give up what's important to me, that's not increasing our acceptance of diversity in the world. It's decreasing it. If I have to sacrifice my beliefs, my religion, in order to live in harmony with others, then we're just creating a world where everyone is this kind of unpassionate and unspecific middle ground. And that's not what I think anyone wants. And so principle number one is purpose in your own heart to stay true to the things that you value and that you believe in.
Well, I think we see really great examples of this from these chapters that we're studying. And first in chapter three is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they are told into that they need to worship the golden image, the golden idol, and they refuse to do that because that's not who they are. They're wanting to be themselves. It's important to them that they stay true to their God. In verse 17 of chapter 3, if the God we serve exists, then he can rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he can rescue us from the power of you, the king. But even if he does not rescue us, we want you as king to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up. It's pretty respectful for someone that's saying, this is what's going to happen to you if you don't obey the king. He says, we're still going to do it, but we're going to be true to who we are. We're going to be ourselves. We see that again when Daniel is caught praying in chapter 6, and he also is going to be punished for that. And he says, I'm going to keep praying because this is who I am. This is what I believe. This is part of my structure. And we see that God rewards them in these cases because they are themselves. And I think that's what I meant earlier on in the episode, is I really think that there's a way that we can do this. And maybe it's a learning curve for all of us to learn to talk about our beliefs and learn to maybe stand up for the things that we feel is right in our faith or in our own personal beliefs. But I think what Zach said earlier is there are reasons why we're given opportunities to practice this, because there is so much beauty in understanding others' differences. And I think when we can understand who we are and be ourselves, I think it makes it much easier to come to understand that other people are just trying to be themselves too. Of course, it gets tricky with so many different people and beliefs in the world. But I think that as we understand ourselves more fully and be ourselves, I think that helps us to understand and help other people be themselves too.
And there's a great consequence to this in these chapters as well. Daniel's usefulness to King Nebuchadnezzar and later on to King Darius comes because he's obedient to this first principle. There's a theme that this book deliberately calls out. At the end of chapter 2, we find the king of Babylon falling on his face, worshiping at first Daniel, and then proclaiming in verse 47, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Daniel's able to interpret King Nebuchadnezzar's dream because he stays true to this principle. He says to the king in verse 28, that same chapter, there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets. That's not Daniel giving up what he believes in order to live more peacefully with someone who has different beliefs. It's Daniel being very forthright and open about what makes him distinct and different. And it's that distinction that makes him useful to the king. In chapter 3, at the end of that chapter, there's a similar decree or a similar declaration from the king again. Because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. At the end of chapter 4, King Nebuchadnezzar, we have a quote from him. He says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. These incredible proclamations of belief from these foreign kings come because Daniel and his friends were true to their beliefs. They did not sacrifice the things that made them unique and different. And as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we have a unique contribution to the world. We have the words of prophets and apostles. We have an additional witness of Jesus Christ in the Book of Mormon. We have ordinances and covenants. We have temples. We have an organizational structure to provide service and welfare to the world. We have a programs that help develop youth and children. We have some really beautiful things to contribute to the world. And none of that is helpful if we pull away from it just in the name of harmony or peace with others. And so I think this first principle is a really powerful one to begin with, and one that doesn't, that can't be forgotten.
And I think this really actually leads perfectly into our next point, which is being yourself, we talked about, but doing that in a kind way. This doesn't need to be forced or overdone. So I think our next point is just simply be kind.
Yeah, in fact, this comes from chapter 1. Verse 8 was where we read that Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. And then verse 9, it says, "Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs." Those two words in Hebrew are beautiful, hesed and raham. And they're translated in multiple places, most often actually as mercy. The first one that's translated as favor here is often used in terms of mercy towards other people, kindness to others. And the second word that's translated as love is mercy or kindness from God. In other words, what is being described here is that Daniel is obedient to the first and second great commandments. He, of course, loves God, and because of that love, will not sacrifice his obedience. But he is also filled with love for others. And this relationship that he has with Ashpenaz, the prince of the eunuchs, comes because Daniel is loving and kind. We had an experience this last week that reminded us of how important it is to just have people around you that are nice to you. And someone at the meeting we were at said that, like, we just need to be nice. And something about the simplicity of that statement really captivated me. And so I've been thinking, how can we just be nicer to people? And so, as you said, Krista, this is the balance to the first point. If the first point is I need to hold firm to what I believe in, the second point is, as I talk with and interact with others, I need to be nice. I need to be filled with this loving kindness, this favor, this mercy, this generosity. I need to allow others the freedom and the space to be themselves, to proclaim beliefs that are different than mine, to live lives or practices that might be different than mine, not by way of judgment, but just with love and kindness towards them.
You mentioned this being similar to the two great commandments, and I really think that that's ultimately what this boils down to. And they're the two great commandments because we need reminders of them constantly. So even though these are very basic principles, just the magnitude of how important they are to me is just something that I'm feeling really strongly right now, is that as we come to understand God and who He is, He helps us be ourself. And the next step is, as we understand who we are, we appreciate other people more. We're able to be more kind and more loving. And that just resonates with how much these flow together.
Yeah.
And these are the simple but the best examples of this is today we were taught in our primary program, which is, of course, one of the best Sundays of the year, right? And I just was thinking about the thing that most of the kids said as we let them kind of fill out their parts for the program, was that they could be brave like Daniel. Someone said, mentioned Daniel, or that they could be brave like Esther. And I can be brave too. Jesus was brave and I can be brave too. And sometimes it takes bravery to be yourself, and it takes bravery to stand up for who you really are inside and what you believe in. And the other thing that they taught us over and over again, I would say probably 50% were about being brave, and that's what we all need. That's what kids folk need too, obviously. And then the next thing that they taught us about today was that they wanted to be like Jesus, and they, what they learned from the scriptures was that they wanted to be kind, that they can show that they love God, or they can show that they're trying to be like Jesus, or they feel Jesus loves when they are being kind to other people, or when other people are kind to them or serving. And so there you go. Primary program teaches it all, right?
I love that. And I loved listening to it. And I hadn't noticed those two principles as clearly as you just said them, but that's exactly what it was today. And I think great words to describe these two principles. I love the description of Daniel in chapter 6. This is fast forwarded decades now. Daniel's an older man. Darius is king of Persia, which has conquered Babylon. And I love, it just describes Daniel as having an excellent spirit, which I'm sure encompasses both of those characteristics that he has, both his bravery and his kindness. I love how the king responds to Daniel's plight. This story, you can sense King Darius's appreciation, his admiration for Daniel. When Daniel's thrown in the lion den, verse 18, it says, the king goes home and passed the night fasting. And then he arises early in the morning and runs to the den of the lions and calls out, Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? That kind of respect and love and honor from someone else comes to someone who is brave and someone who is kind. Now, I think it maybe goes without saying, but should be said, these two characteristics, these two qualities often seem like they are diametrically opposed, like they're mutually exclusive. If I am brave, if I stand up for who I am, then I can't be kind. Or maybe more common, if I'm kind to others, then I can't be brave or I can't speak up myself. But Jesus held both of these principles at the same time. And Daniel and his friends are other examples of these two principles being held at the same time. In fact, as I read these stories, the most touching part for me is when Daniel's friends, when Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are thrown in the fire, because they are brave and because they're kind, the servants that are looking in notice, this is chapter 3, verse 25, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no form or hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. If I were to pick two characteristics that I think most, that I would say most describe Jesus, it might be those two words, brave and kind. And to the degree that we are also brave and kind, I think is the degree to which we can experience not just the Spirit of the Lord, but His presence and His guidance and His companionship in our lives. We are Christ-like when we are brave and kind. So as you consider your own situations and circumstances, as you think about the world in which you live and the others around you, I think these are two great questions to ponder, and I think can help us be more Christ-like in relation to the Babylon or the Persia that we might live in.
Thank you so much for studying with us this week. We'll see you next week.